Heavenly Father, thank you again for the opportunity to be together, to share this time. We pray for your filling us up right now, that we may be about your business, that is so much bigger than what we thought, that you are so much better than we could ever imagine. Help us to enjoy you forever. Help us understand that this season in the life of our church is an incredible opportunity for us to grow in faith and in love and community, that we may be your hands and your feet, your light and your love in this community as well. We give you praise in your name. Amen. For those of you that do not know, we're just starting our Believe series, part two. Last year we did it, and it brings us all the way up to Palm Sunday, which is right before Easter. And we'll have 10 weeks where we're going to be looking at specifically what do Christians do? What are things that they practice to help them grow in trust and in faith and in really friendship with the Lord? Many of us have called Jesus Lord, which he is, but many of us maybe have not understood him to be friend as well. And in these practices, you'll discover him as friend. You'll discover him as someone who is there with you in the good and the bad and the ugly. He never leaves your side. When everyone else has maybe left you or you feel like everyone else has left you, he's right there for you. When you've had two surgeries in 1 week in two states, he's with you. Just a hypothetical. We started this series last year. We did 10 weeks of it. This year, again, we're doing 10 more weeks. And then next year, we'll complete it with 10 more weeks in addition to that. But looking at very specific things. Last year was all about what do Christians believe? What are the things we think about? Who is God and what is he doing in this world? To, again, this year, working at practices. And next year, we're going to talk about who are we becoming? Looking at this thing called the fruit of the Spirit, which is in one of the texts. So today, looking at, if you haven't heard anything about Believe, this is your first time, there's Believe books in the back, please grab one. We'd love to get you in a group, a Bible study, to kind of help you dig deeper in these. But for our text, this is our basis for today. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Psalm 95. 1 and 2. This is the word of the Lord. Believe. This week we're looking at worship. What is worship? That it's so much bigger than a service. We worship God here absolutely corporately, but we also have multiple opportunities when we're away. When you first get up in the morning to when you first put your head on the pillow. We worship God in everything we do, believe it or not. We've been made to worship, but I love how they put it here in this series. I worship God for who he is and what he has done for me. Who he is means you have a good understanding of who God is, and you understand what he's done for you, what he's done for me. That this aspect of worship, is so much bigger than a service. We tend to think of worship as music, and it can be, but it's so much bigger. Worship is everything you do. It could be how you play a game, believe it or not. Which ways? Well, wait a minute. How do we do Monopoly? I'm still working on that one. But worship is everything you do, the things you think about, the things you actually work on throughout the day, you apply yourself to. How you treat others is a form of worship. Worship is about us being the people God imagined us becoming, helping us be in step with who God is and where he has us. Being in step with God, though, is not always that easy, is it? Because sometimes there's a thing called life that happens, and we just don't sometimes like what life gives us, and we're struggling with it. We struggle with what God is doing. But worship, again, is so much more. Worship allows us to be exactly the people God wants us to be right here, right now, and trust that he's growing us up. That what he's doing in us now is going to help us know him better. But there's a lot of things that can get in the way of this thing called worship, this relationship. We think about the people that you're closest to. There's not only usually some type of a family bloodline, but there's usually a time you spent together, an experience you shared, something that holds you together, something that you can remember. There was on the way here, my radio song went on there that I love. It's by a pianist named Eric Wheelis, and it's I'm like, he's playing it. I'm going, I got to talk to Tatiana. I got to talk to Tatiana. She's got to play this one for a prelude one time. It's just absolutely just captivating. And then I'm getting like dark here. I'm sorry, but I'm getting dark. I'm like, man, I would love this at my funeral. I'm doing well. I'm doing fine. I know where I'm going, but I was like, man, I would love this at my funeral. I said, I got to put that somewhere so Leslie will know where that is. And so I'm like going through and stuff. And I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be great if Craig Ames, the music pastor at my church growing up, wouldn't it be great if he could come and play too? I mean, Tatiana and him, just, and I'm going, where am I going with this? I mean, I'm just like in my head, like on the way here, I'm going, what is going on? And I thought about how tied we are to those experiences that define us, those people in our lives that meant so much to us. Again, it could be a family member, could be a friend, could be a teacher, could be someone who just was there for us when we needed him most. But those people are the people what I'm talking about here, that when we worship, that God lets us enjoy life. We start to discover more of how good God is. In fact, when you're struggling, when you're feeling down, let me just give you a little insight for Christian understanding of how to help you get through those dark times. Praise the Lord. When you start to praise the Lord, when you're struggling, when things are dark, when you're not feeling good, maybe even kind of on that road to depression, it's amazing how that will just give you a new hope and a new sense. It's interesting. Psychologists have found that, and it's not what my major is in, but I do like reading studies and stuff, things that they have kind of come to say, wow, this is really interesting. When we focus in on ourselves, we tend to get really not so generous. We're a worse critic, typically, right? But when it comes to when we're struggling, let's focus on who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's read in his word. Let's dig. Let's praise. And let's lean into it and find that he gives us a hope and a spirit that we don't have to worry about. But that starts with worship. Now, worship is not, again, something we just go to. It's something that we experience because of it's who we are. Believe it or not, you have been made to worship something or someone. We tend to do it all the time. We might do it with a football team. We might do it with fill in your favorite sport or your favorite hobby. We are wired to worship. The challenge is to make sure that we're worshiping the one true living God. The challenge is to make sure that our focus is saying, you're the one who has worth. Can we worship another person? It tends to not go well. It's interesting, is this in the scripture? I know it was written like several thousand years ago, but it's crazy how it really replies to our lives even to today. The book is filled with this thing called idolatry. It's the number one sin, the number one rebellion against God. And it's this thing that how we just start to worship someone or something else. And if we can't figure out who to worship, we'll find someone. We'll make something up. Back in the day, they might make a golden calf. they might make something else or someone. Today, we have so many options, don't we? Of who to worship and what to worship. We got to be careful where we put ourselves, where we apply ourselves, because man, we can go down the wrong road. We worship because of what he has done in us and for us. In us is what he's still doing. For us, because of what he did for us from the beginning in Genesis all the way to Revelation, that what he is doing to reclaim and restore the whole world to himself, that's us too. That he is working in us in the very small as well as the very big. And when you understand that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, being faithful to what God has called him to do, to give his life so that we may come to know and have a relationship with him, excuse me, the gospel changes everything. When you're feeling bad, it's okay you're feeling bad. It's what you're feeling is what you're feeling. But maybe remind yourself, but God's not done. I wish I could do this. For some situations, there's nothing, no way to fix it. There's no operation. There's no pill. Sometimes it just is what it is, and it's about loving through that. There's this beautiful scripture some of you may have heard at a lot of times at funerals, memorial services, or celebrations of life, Psalm 23, and it talks about this great shepherd. and that he provides for us, he watches over for us, he protects us, that he walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. One thing I keep struggling with, or I guess not struggle, but just I keep finding God just keeps putting me there. Not that I'm going through every valley right now, I'm just going through that, but just that I keep trying to go other places in the Bible, he keeps bringing me right back to that. He's bringing me right back to that. And what I found in the years is that maybe people just need to hear that more. That if you're in the valley, he's there with you. He could easily go around it. He could easily stop and say, let's not do this. But he takes us in there because I think what it does for us and in us, how it shapes us, how we learn that he's there with us every step of the way. There's sometimes people pray and, you know, God, give me a parking spot. Boom. Oh, and there's a parking spot. And you're like, well, that was good. All right. Okay. And then sometimes people pray and the cancer doesn't get healed. Is that because God isn't strong enough or powerful? No. But some things he just says no. Or some things he says, not yet. We're going to work through this. We're doing this together. The gospel changes everything. What are those things that we can do to help us in our relationship with the Lord? These are things that part of our small group Bible study had kind of come up with, so I'm going to share some of their ideas. Remember that worship is God's idea. It's not something that we create, something he's already thought of and says, hey, let's share some time together. Remember, he's worth it. Silence and solitude, that's not something we do in our culture today. It's not something that we're comfortable with. It's amazing when a lot of times we'll get ready for the prelude and I'll hear more talking. Sometimes I'll be talking and I'll be like, what am I doing? No, this is a time to just be still before the Lord. Silence and solitude is just something that we struggle with, but don't be afraid. It's amazing how God wants to invite us and have some special time just with us. And sometimes, again, silence part, we don't have to say much. It's just being present. Prayer. It's an example to others, believe it or not. Worship actually helps others get to know who our God is. We can worship through song. We can worship through dance. I don't know if Tom's going to do a dance. I know he's a good dancer. I've seen him. But maybe we can talk about that, do a little interpretive dance maybe later in the service. he's like, wait, what? Sorry, I should have talked to you earlier about that. A lot of times, if we can understand what worship is, and again, understand how worship helps us grow in our faith, as well as it's almost like oxygen for our souls. It helps us, just have the energy for the rest of our days. We can worship the Lord when we read scripture, when we serve others, especially out of our shape. We call that apest, how God has helped us and formed us. Those are just some. There's many more. And I said, well, what are some of the obstacles that we face when it comes to trying to worship God on our own? These are some of the things they came up with. Misunderstandings of God. We don't think God's interested or he's listening, paying attention. Maybe our own unwise choices. Maybe we're just not thinking it's important. Hurriedness. That's the cancer for a Christian life. Hurriedness. That'll just take you out. Expectations of others. What will other people think? Oh, well, they think I'm a little crazy now. I'm reading the Bible and they're seeing it. Well, they think I'm, I don't know. But limited knowledge of how God works. There's so many more, but there's challenges that we all face. And we have to acknowledge it so we can get through it, so we can deal with it. The challenge I find is when we need help, we need to ask God for help or other brothers and sisters in Christ. That's one of the benefits of going to, like saying, a small group, is you can share some of these and hey, how have you dealt with that? Real people talking about how they've dealt, how they've struggled, how they worked through it. There's this beautiful scripture that I've shared before here, but it just goes so well with what we're talking about today. It comes from Corinthians, a church in Greece. For we are co-workers in God's service. In fact, you are God's field, God's building. I know he takes metaphors and he kind of plays around with them, but just go with it. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. We're all working together. There's people that are training up. He planted. There's another person who's kind of watering, and then we're going to see what happens. but each one should build with care. Every one of us should be intentional about how we build our relationship with the Lord, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. Woo. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. A lot there. I put up here something that you were probably handed when you came in, a little jar of iron pyrite is the technical official term, also known as fool's gold. I have a fool's gold piece, a chunk, a piece of pyrite here. I got this last summer at a mine up in North Carolina, knowing that what we believe matters. And this scripture here talks about how what we do will be tested. What we believe will be tested. It's interesting is if you were to burn gold, it would just melt. Doesn't have any odor. But if you were to burn this, it would smell like nasty eggs, spoiled eggs. It just really would. If you were to take a knife and put it to this, it would struggle in cutting it. But you could cut gold up and carve into it and slice and shave it and stuff like that. It's very different. Looks the same. People became fool's gold because when they were doing mining and stuff, explorations and stuff back in the day, that when they hit one of these veins, they were like, oh, I struck it rich. I got it all together. We're set. We're ready to go. And then they take it and they'd weigh it and then they'd test it and say, nope, this isn't gold. Many times they would just leave it there. Wouldn't take it back because it's not worth anything. My question for you for these next 10 weeks is, with what you believe and how you live, would it handle the test? If it was to be tested under fire, as it was just talking about, this gentleman, Paul, who's trying to help them understand, this church, that what you believe really matters. That who you are becoming really matters. That if God is really at work and he's working in you, that this won't be an issue. When real challenges happen, it usually reveals the character that God's been developing. It reveals who our trust and faith is in. If we never had any struggles, we'd think we were just amazing. When Leah, who's now 8, when she was about 4 or 5, she still sometimes does this, but she comes out in her like superhero outfit, and she's like, let's go, Dad. And she's like, let's do this. And she's like ready to take me on and stuff. And she amazingly throws me around the room. It's impressive. She really is. Sorry to burst her bubble, but I'm playing. It's not real life. It was 2 weeks ago. I was picking up my oldest from middle school. And as I'm picking her up, I usually have Leah in the car with me. And so she's like, but normally there, where we're waiting for my oldest, there's some kids that are playing that Leah knows and from her school, and they all play together and stuff, and so they're all playing whatever. Well, Leslie had picked her up earlier and stuff like that, and so I'm picking up Aliana, and I said, I'm just messing with her at this point. I'm like, okay, that's it, Leah, last time, we're leaving without you. And so I put it in park or drive, and we start leaving. She's like, what? You're leaving? You're leaving her? She should have gotten in the car when she was supposed to. So she's like in this process mode, like, wait a minute. Like, she looks at me, like, wait, what? Looks back. She sees kids playing, like, wait a minute. Oh my gosh, like, he can't be doing this. And I'm like, what are you worried about? She's tough. And she just goes flat out, no, she's not. The wind can knock her over. And I'm like, that was kind of funny, kid. That was pretty good. And I'm like, but I'm trying to keep a straight face. I'm like, she knows the way home. We're only a mile away, but I wouldn't do that to her. But I'm like, so we pull into the house, and she sees her with Leslie in the driveway, and she just starts swinging on me like, you jerk. And I'm like, I was just messing. Would I leave her? She's like, well, I didn't think so, but then you really drove. My point being is we sometimes think we're stronger than we are. We sometimes do. And when life really happens, is our faith strong enough to handle it, to help us? Every one of us, I say us, every one of us is facing challenges or struggles. And if you're in a good season where you don't have many, praise the Lord, but guess what? Oh, I was waiting, thank you. It's called that talk back sermon in seminary. They're coming. And that's not to scare anyone. It's more preparation. Maybe you woke up and you realized your truck was stolen. Maybe you're just trying to get through the day because, man, it's a rough season. Guess what? He's with you every step. And it's in times of worship, together and apart, that gives us a strength to take the next step, to keep pushing. But you have to be the one to own where your faith is. Are you holding on to the pyrite? Looks pretty. Has some really shiny parts here. But it's not worth its weight. Every one of us has these challenges that we have to work through. There's something else that he says right after this, by the way, which I think is just beautiful. We'll wrap it up on this. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? The building that he's hinting towards, he's coming down, he's landing the plane here. He's like, you are God's temple. We don't need a temple anymore. We don't need that anymore because you are God's temple. Where you are, God says, I dwell with you. Wherever you're at, God's already there. He dwells with you. This temple language is so important that we wrap our minds around because this is the place where they believed and they understood where heaven and earth met. And now he declares boldly that this is where heaven and earth meet, in us. What? That's huge. Every person you meet is an opportunity to help them meet God and his love. Do you realize how much it cost him? Do you realize what he did for us so that we could be the people, his people, right where he has us? No matter where you find yourself, he has you there for a reason. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, help us to get a clue about how much we've been forgiven, that what it costs you, Lord, we would be eager to share the love that you have for us with others. Help us to understand that worship is about what you've done for us and what you're doing in us, and how much you love us. Lord, help us to not be afraid of scriptures that talk about the fire, that test the quality, but it's to help us really be the people you see us becoming. Thank you for the opportunity to know you, to be one of your children. Thank you for the truth that your love is infinite, that there's nothing we can do to make you love us anymore, nothing you can do to make us love us any less. In trusting in you, Lord, and trusting in your goodness, give us boldness and courage to worship you everywhere we're at. We don't have to be weird. We don't have to be out loud. We can just be in our hearts. But Lord, help us to enjoy you every moment of the day, all the days of our lives. Help us see how important this practice is and knowing you and following you. Lord, we want to lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, especially here locally. We lift up Kirk of the Keys, Indian River Presbyterian, Palm City, The Grove. We pray, Lord, that your church would not be a monument, but a movement. That it's not about us in this room, but it's about what you're doing in this world. Help us, Lord, in being your hands and feet. Help us to be eager to do good to others, and in hopes, sharing our hope and faith in you. Lord, do the deep work that you need to do in us so that, again, we may be the people you are so eager for us to become. We pray for those who are hurting, those who are sick, those who maybe feel they don't have much hope at all right now. May they know that with you, their future is secure. That you'll walk with each one of us through our own valleys. We pray for our country. We pray for our leaders. It seems to be more that What unites us is what divides us. We pray for your will to be done. We pray for your kingdom to come. We pray that you would anoint those leaders with your wisdom and favor and humility. May they continue to serve your purposes. Father, we ask that you would especially have your hand upon those in Puerto Rico, those in the Philippines, the Middle East. Your world, it's your world and you love it. It's hurting. We ask that the church would rise up and be your hands and feet there too. And Lord, we remember that this was not just our idea, but it was your idea when you taught your disciples to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever."